Welcome to Becoming a Sleep Consultant. I'm your host, Jane Havens, a certified sleep consultant and founder of both SnoozeFest by Jane Havens and Center for Pediatric Sleep Management. On this podcast, I'll be discussing the business side of sleep consulting. You'll have an insider's view on launching, growing, and even scaling a sleep consulting business. This is not a podcast about sleep training. This is a podcast about business building and entrepreneurship. Liza is a certified pediatric sleep consultant through the Center for Pediatric Sleep Management, a certified special needs sleep consultant through the Institute of Pediatric Sleep and Parenting, and co-founder of the Westchester Mama and Child Wellness Expo. She's also the lead sleep expert in the Indie Labs Parenting Center, a sleep instructor with Virtual Village Parenting, lactation educator, and proud member of CAPA and the Hudson Valley Birth Network. Liza is passionate about working to disrupt the narrative that motherhood means sleepless nights by educating parents on the connection between sleep and mental health and supporting neurotypical and special needs families in getting continuous restorative sleep so that both parents and their children are positioned to thrive. Liza, welcome back to the Becoming a Sleep Consultant podcast. You know, I always love having these conversations with you.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be back.
Before we get started, let's take a brief trip down memory lane. For those who don't know you, take us back. Tell us about your journey through becoming a sleep consultant and eventually leaving your job to do this work full time and what your business looks like now.
Yeah. So I got certified in, I think it was like June, July of 2021. And I got started really because my husband was just like, you're obsessed with sleep. You're doing like good things for like friends of friends and their children. You could probably do this professionally. And I was like, no, that's really not a thing. But then of course I started looking into it and I found you and your course and it was very much a thing. So I got through it very quickly. I was just super passionate about everything I was learning. And I did sort of like a soft launch-ish in October of 2021. And I really started it as a side hustle because I was working in publishing, loved working in publishing. And I found this fulfilling in a totally different way. So I just, you know, found myself making more and more time for it on the weekends and in between meetings and evenings and things like that. And by, I would say like March or April of 2022, things had totally changed with my job and I was becoming increasingly unhappy. And I also started having some like health issues. And I was very fortunate that I had the opportunity to do a bit of a like mental health leave and reset. And during that time, I was like, well, I don't want to just like do nothing. I love sleep consulting and that doesn't feel like work in the same way. So I'm going to keep doing that. And because I had some time to really devote to that and only that, I found even more opportunities to meet with families and to help them. And in doing only that, I realized like that was really what I felt like I was being called to do. And it felt like it was time to make a big transition. I'm sure part of it was also like turning 40. I felt like it was sort of like my midlife crisis. And I just, you know, I had the opportunity and a very supportive husband who encouraged me to go for it. And so I left my full-time job in October of 2022 and really decided like this was going to become my one and only. And since then, I have just found new and interesting ways of enjoying sleep consulting, even beyond like the one-to-one work. So yeah, it's been a really exciting ride. And I feel like one of the things that's made it so fun for me is I crave variety. I don't like doing the same thing every day. And not that it was like that even with one-to-one clients, but I found like I was really missing presenting and being in front of people and sharing knowledge. So I've sort of feel like it's a little bit of a choose your own adventure. I've turned this into a career where I'm meeting with a lot of professionals and working with their groups of postpartum women. And I'm giving presentations to schools and things like that, and really just getting to spread the gospel about how important sleep is and that there are things you can do to make it better for your children and your entire family. And yeah, I love it.
I love all of that. It makes me so happy. If nothing makes me happier than seeing somebody who just, thought they'd get into this because they enjoyed it and they'd do it as a little side hustle. And now it is a legitimate career. That just, it makes me smile from ear to ear. So today's podcast topic is actually one that I'm particularly excited about. We're going to talk about creating or mining unique opportunities to grow your business as a sleep consultant. And you sort of touched on it a tiny little bit in your intro, but I'd love for you to expand upon all of that if you're willing. What has that looked like for you in your business?
Yeah, it's sort of twofold. I mean, the first piece of it is just having conversations with other either pediatric professionals, perinatal professionals, and looking for ways that we can collaborate. And I think that's something that a lot of people in your group do too, talking to pediatricians, talking to OBs, meeting with postpartum doulas and things like that. And one of the relationships that I formed and which led to this like wellness expo that I did back in November was really born from just like working with a number of families and realizing how little support there is in this country in the way of postpartum. And if you don't know that postpartum doulas are a thing, or if you don't know that sleep consultants are a thing, and if you don't live near a family, it is such an isolating, really confusing and overwhelming time. And I was talking with a colleague who actually doesn't work as a medical professional, but she works to find like different kind of family activities, essentially. And in doing that, she was pregnant with her third, and she was just like, yeah, I'll have three under four. And we were talking about how difficult it feels to thrive when you have so many children with such different needs. And wouldn't it be great if we could bring a lot of different professionals together and show women and show families all of the different professionals that exist that could potentially make their postpartum time easier and also help their children thrive better. So that was sort of like the genesis of this expo. And together, we just were both not afraid to be squeaky wheels. So we just would like talk to everybody, a lot of cold outreach to OTs, PTs, pelvic floor therapists, licensed, clinical mental health workers, a lot of different people in the like clinical space. And then we also started branching out into more of like the holistic space. So we were talking with acupuncturists and massage therapists. And because I live in a community that is really it feels very small in some ways, word just continued to spread and we got a lot of interest in people wanting to sign on and be vendors. So that turned into a venture that really connected me with a lot of the professionals that I've like since kept up relationships with. And that is what I attribute a lot of this different sort of unique path as a sleep consultant. This event was in November. We had about 90 vendors, mostly across Westchester, but also some in Pennsylvania, some in Connecticut. And the goal was really to promote health and wellness for women and for getting their baby off on the right foot. And from there, that has just led to a lot of connections that I've continued to keep up with. And, going into my email and reaching out to a postpartum doula and saying, like, I'd love to come speak to your community if you think that some targeted sleep education would be beneficial to them. Like, let's see what we can make happen. And that is something that I've continued to do. And so, talking one-on-one, it ends up being like this group Q&A, essentially like an AMA for a large group. And from there, some people sign on right away, some come back in a few weeks, but that has really helped just, I think, take my business in a different direction and the growth that I've seen from that is so much more than just one happy client who's telling her friends. And that happens too all the time. I think between Facebook, client referrals, and these other perinatal channels, those are definitely my three main forms of clients. But the other piece of it is just being willing to learn and being excited to learn. And I think my own kids have really played a role in my desire to constantly learn more and more, not just about sleep, but the special needs piece. And that is something that I'm exploring more and more. And I don't know if I would say that I'm like niching down to it in particular, but I find it really, really rewarding and empowering to be able to help families who feel like they've tried everything and have heard from doctors like, this is just it. There's nothing we can do. So I've just been learning a lot more about the sensory system and how that plays a role in sleep in particular. And that has sort of taken me down this other professional collaboration path where I'm working with an organization that is specifically focused on children with disabilities, and we're creating a disabilities sleep course together. So it's sort of like there are a lot of different tentacles, but it all comes back to just being excited to share this information because it's so important.
There are a couple of things that you said that I want to go back to and touch on. You mentioned cold outreach, which I think for those who are listening, I have no idea who listens to this podcast. I think it's a healthy combination of people who are already sleep consultants and they use it as a way to sort of gain continuing education in their own businesses. But I also think there are people who listen who are interested in becoming a sleep consultant and they haven't yet jumped in and they wonder, like, how am I going to find clients? What's that going to look like? Right. And even for those who are still sort of in the earlier stages of growing a business and trying to figure out where is their clientele coming from, you mentioned cold outreach. What does that look like? Can you explain, like, is that phone calls? Is that emails? Is that leading to in-person meetings? Is that leading to Zooms? Can you walk us through sort of maybe even like the language that you use to build these connections? And then you also said right after that that you kept up those relationships. And that's the part I'm particularly interested in because I think it's really easy to like shoot off an email or to make a phone call, but like how do you foster or like nurture those relationships so that they don't just turn into like a one-off conversation that came and went.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think I will clarify by saying cold outreach. I don't mean like approaching moms who might be like cold leads. It is specifically the professionals, like other people working in this space. But I usually do start with an email. And in terms of the language, I will usually, I do my research first. So I will reach out to someone after I've like looked at their website, looked at what kind of offerings they have, if they have like a group support group, which are group, postpartum like group support, which a lot of people in my area tend to do. And then I will just say, I notice you offer this group to postpartum moms. I'm really passionate about educating postpartum moms on the importance of sleep and helping position them to help their babies and themselves thrive right from the beginning. I wonder if maybe there's an opportunity for us to collaborate there. Would you be open to talking further? So that's really how it starts. And then from there, I almost always will move to a Zoom call. Sometimes we'll do in person, but usually Zoom to start to like get a feel for the person. Do we actually have like similar philosophies and values? And I've been very fortunate that most of the people I've reached out to were like, yeah, like I'll bring you in as a guest on X date. And a lot of the groups that I go and meet with are virtual. So, because these are new moms and stuff to get out of the house. So it's that much easier to reach a broad audience. But I've definitely done coffees with people. If it seems like we're really, really clicking over Zoom, then I will suggest that we meet up in person and maybe spitball some ideas back and forth. And in terms of keeping up the correspondence, that is something that is like very high on my priority list. So I will check back in with whoever I have met with at least once a month. I don't want to be too like pushy, but I tend to check back in and just, again, say like, are you with a new cohort of people now? I would love to come and meet with this group. And it really has paid off. I have also created a number of sleep guides, and that's something that I spent a lot of time working on. I think it was last year, 2023. But so I will sometimes start by like offering up my newborn guide to a doula who has a support group and said, like, if you would like to take a look at this, this is some of the information that I tend to share with new moms. If you think this would be helpful, you are welcome to share it with your group and then bring me in as a speaker, and then they can actually like learn from the voice behind this guide. And then I'm just the first person they think of when they're actually in the throes of sleepless nights. And I feel like that has really given me a push.
I love that. I love it. It's brilliant. It's really authentic. It's really genuine. And I think it's also a really enjoyable way to grow a business, right? Like I think one thing that a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with is like the loneliness behind entrepreneurship, that like you're a one man or one woman show and you don't necessarily have co-workers. You might have a lot of colleagues, but you don't have like co-workers. And when you can fill your day with conversations with other people who have a similar mission as you, supporting moms postpartum and helping them to thrive, and you can surround yourself with all of these really smart, hardworking, intellectual people who want all the same things for motherhood and for parenthood and for babies as you do. I don't know. I think it's more exciting to get up and go to work every day.
Absolutely. And I feel like every day really is different in that regard too. Like letting the conversations take you where they may. But I also think it's been really important for me to connect with other people who are also supporting moms in this really delicate time, because I think we often fall into the role of therapist as we're working with our clients. And if you are just giving all day to your clients and to your children and to your spouse, sometimes I feel like my tank is depleted much faster than others. But if I can have these conversations with other professionals, it just fills my tank back up. And I feel like I have more to then give to everything.
Do you feel that this approach has helped you to establish or build a higher level of authority within the industry?
Yes, I do. At least in my local area. I think that, doing the expo and like being at the helm of that definitely positioned me as someone in the county who like knew what she was doing and really cared about connecting parents with resources that might help them. And that exposure really led to a lot of other, I don't want to say like, I don't know. I don't want to say high profile because I don't think that's true, but my name was out there in a very different way. And I think seeing my name in connection with all of these other professionals, especially medical professionals, like obviously I did not go to med school. I am not a physician or, a clinician by any means, but I think being seen as the connector for all of these things definitely just put me like at a higher level than I was before. And that I think is why I've gotten some of the inquiries that I have from various school districts to come and talk to their parents about the importance of sleep health and hygiene. And talking to, the Westchester Psychological Association about sleep in parenthood and why that has to be like the first thing that you start when you are helping a parent through like their mental health journey. So yeah, I do think it's been a much more, you said, like authentic and genuine. I really don't like Instagram. I wish that I did. I really wish that I did, because there are just some people who are amazing at it. But for whatever reason, it's not me. I can't do it. And I felt like I had to figure out something else that worked for me if I wanted to stay in this business and grow.
Yeah. Well, I connect with you there. I don't like Instagram either. And I'm a firm believer that meaningful and strategic connections, and then also leveraging your excellence as a form of marketing is really crucial, right? Like when you can articulate to other professionals, but then in turn, parents and families, that you actually really know your stuff and that you've surrounded yourself with really smart, highly educated, highly qualified people. That positions you to sort of, I think, have a higher level of excellence, and then therefore you can market yourself accordingly, you know? And I think some of that is confidence, and some of that is experience, and some of that is time. And hard work, right? Like this doesn't happen day one out of the gate when you first launch your sleep consulting business. I think it takes time, right? When did you say you started your business? Was it 2021?
Yes, October 2021 was when I started like part-time, and then October
Yeah.
2022 is when I, but like, yeah, that growth that first year, especially part-time, it was slow. It really was.
Right.
And I think Instagram also like made me feel worse about how slow it was, which
Yeah.
is probably also one of the reasons that I realized I just had to find a different way for myself.
Right. And I really do believe that figuring out what works for you is ultimately going to be what positions you to thrive, right? Like some people, I think, aren't necessarily cut out for the networking game, you know? They're better at making fancy reels on Instagram. And some people like you do better actually having conversations with people and getting to know them and learning from them. Let's go into that a little bit more. I want to hear a little bit more about like what you've learned from others, whether it be other sleep medical professionals or whatever it may be that's helped you to position yourself as a stronger sleep consultant.
So part of it is just like this ongoing education that I've really committed to over the past year. You know, I love taking courses. I love learning new things that are connected to the sleep world because I think there is so much that, especially with the special needs community, there is so much beyond the behavioral piece of it. And you know, I have talked about this before a little bit, but my daughter has diagnosed ADHD and my son has diagnosed sensory processing disorder. So when thinking about in general how sleep has been challenging for them at different times, and then meeting with parents who also have their own struggles, and it could be a child who's on the spectrum or a child who you know, has some other medical diagnosis or intellectual disability, I did not feel really prepared to serve them at first, even at with my experience as a parent, because there was so much that I didn't really know. I knew like what worked for my kids, right? But so I took a two really, really interesting courses over this past year. One was taught by Dr. Anya, I don't remember. I
Yeah,
double
she's actually, yeah,
hyphenate last name.
we're the CPSM community is actually going to be meeting with her in a couple of weeks.
Oh,
So,
amazing. McLaren Barrett, I think is her last name. She's incredible. And I learned so much about, you know, parasomnias and sleep, like medical sleep issues from her. And then I also took a course with Melissa Doman, who is sort of known as like the special needs sleep consultant, and learned a lot from her about the sensory system and nutrition and all of these other things that really impact a child's ability to even fall asleep from the get-go. So through both of those courses, I've sort of approached the way that I work with toddler families in particular really differently. When I first meet with a family and they're telling me about their issues, some of them I can immediately identify as behavioral. Like, of course, your child is waking up 8 times a night wanting you to come in. You're falling asleep holding their hand. But there is so much more that I have learned about, like, they want that deep pressure. They want that contact. That has something to do with like their sensory system. They might be a sensory seeker, and there might be some sensory techniques that we need to build into their early evening and their bedtime routine to meet those needs so that they're not looking for them as strongly at bedtime. So my approach and like the language that I've been using recently with toddler families is really working to support their child's body from the inside out. So we're starting with their sensory system. We're starting with nutrition or supplements if they don't have a, you know, enough calcium or omega or vitamin B6 or magnesium. And then we take like a slower approach to actually making the behavioral changes at bedtime because we have to set up this foundation first where their body and brain are in balance and able to get to a place of calm so that they can actually learn these behavioral techniques that we're then going to implement. And I've found that that has been really, it's just like an internal mind shift for me too, based on what I've learned, but it's been really helpful for me and really rewarding to see. That's been a big shift for me recently.
I love it. Well, Dr. Anya is going to be speaking to the CPSM community in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to be announcing that actually very, very soon. So I'm excited that you brought her name up. And I just love that you have really taken ownership of continuing your education. I like to consider myself to be a lifelong learner, not always through additional courses, but like I read, I listen to podcasts, I'm constantly scooping up knowledge and education wherever I can. And I do think that that's what leads to all of us being better at our jobs.
Absolutely. There's so much more to learn, always.
Always. Before we wrap up, where can everybody find you if they want to connect with you, refer you, or just meet you?
Sure. Email is the best way. It's Liza@rockabyebabysleep.com, and my website is www.rockabyebabysleep.com. You can find me on Instagram, even though I am not there very often, and that's just Liza_rockabyebabysleep. But those are the main ways. I have a Facebook group as well, also called Rockabye Baby Sleep. And yeah, that's about it.
It's always a pleasure chatting with you, especially today, seeing you face to face. So nice.
So
And we will have to do it again soon. Thank you again.
thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Becoming a Sleep Consultant podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, it would mean so much to me if you would rate, review, and subscribe. When you rate, review, and subscribe, this helps the podcast reach a greater audience. I am so grateful for your support. If you would like to learn more about how you can become a certified sleep consultant, head over to my Facebook group, Becoming a Sleep Consultant, or to my website, thecpsm.com. Thanks so much, and I hope you will tune in for the next episode.